Welcome to my commentary on 1 Thessalonians. This section, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. Verse 4 begins with the word finally. Paul isn't meaning this is his conclusion to his letter. The word finally here means we're going to now speak about how you work out the theology that I just spoke to you about into practical ways of living. So here Paul says in verse 1, finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. And really, every moment of our lives should be lived with the understanding what I am doing right now, I want to please my Lord. As in fact, you were living, you are living. So Paul's not saying I'm writing these things because you're not living this way. In reality, you are. I'm just encouraging you to continue. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. Just what I said. Verse 2, for you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. Paul was an apostle. He had apostolic authority to, like a prophet, to speak on behalf of God to the people the Lord had given him to care for. Now, we need to realize something here. I do believe in modern-day apostles, but I do distinguish modern-day apostles from the apostles of the New Testament, like Paul. Some people take Paul's words, and he uses these words in a few places. He says, my gospel. Some people today say because Paul says my gospel, he, as an apostle, had his gospel. Peter had his gospel, slightly different flavor. Apollos had his gospel, a slightly different flavor. But that's not true. There was one gospel. Peter, Apollos, Paul all taught that one gospel. Any apostle today must teach the gospel that these New Testament writers taught. They can't teach another gospel. There is apostolic authority, but apostolic authority is based on servitude. Paul was a real servant of God. If a man who calls himself an apostle is not a true, visible servant, you can surely question his apostleship. Verse 3, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, meaning set apart, and in this case, set apart from the pagan world. And we'll see here, the pagan world around these people was very immoral. So Paul said, you guys need to be set apart, sanctified from that, that you should avoid sexual immorality. Verse 4, that each of you should learn to control his own body. Now you might see at the bottom of your page a different rendering, control his wife. The Greek word translated as body in the NIV is really the Greek word that means a vessel. The rabbis often viewed this vessel as being a wife. They viewed a wife as being a vessel, and so did the Septuagint in certain places. The word control here means to take. So some people believe Paul was saying, take a wife, don't commit adultery. I lean to what the NIV is saying here, control your own body, don't commit adultery. He goes on to say, in a way that is holy and honorable, meaning control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Verse 5, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. Now, the heathen in Paul's day, sexual promiscuity was rampant in the Roman world. We think our world is bad, but we have not yet come to the place of immorality as could be seen in the Roman Empire in Paul's day. Temple prostitutes, both male and female, thousands of them around the Temple of Diana. Every temple in the Roman, at least along the, in the Greek Roman culture, had temple prostitutes. Men and women would go to the temple to worship. They would have sex with men or women as part of worship. Divorce was rampant. Running around on your wife was rampant. Running around on your husband was rampant. Having sex with children, boys, was rampant. Whatever you could think of, sexual parties in the town square was rampant. Just read the history, you'll find out. Verse 6, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. Now, concerning the brothers here, the text says, don't take advantage of your brother. I tend to believe brother as in brother of the Lord. See, pagans took advantage of their really literal family brother as well as friend by committing adultery with their wives. Paul says, don't do that. Such things will be judged. Verse 7, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, in verse 8, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, meaning doesn't reject me, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. Like Paul says, it's not me you're rejecting. I'm just passing this word on to you from God himself, who, by the way, has given you the Holy Spirit. Why would he add, has given you the Holy Spirit? It's simple. The Holy Spirit is within us to help us to control our passions, whatever those passions would be, not just sexual passions. People lust after many things, and the Holy Spirit is in our lives to temper these passionate lusts. Verse 9, now about brotherly love, we do not need to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. Again, Paul's not saying, I'm not writing these things to tell you that you don't love. I'm just encouraging you to love more than what you are doing, because there's always progress to be made in the Lord. Verse 10, and in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Remember, Macedonia is a province. And Paul says that brothers and sisters in Thessalonica have a great love for all the believers in the province. Yet, we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. That's my point. These believers were doing good, but you can always do more than the good that you are presently doing. Verse 11, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. Like, don't be disruptive. If you're going to be disruptive, make sure it's because of the gospel. You live a life that no one can accuse you of being a wrongdoer. If they're going to accuse you, make sure it's on the grounds of preaching and living the gospel. To mind your own business and to work with your own hands, just as we told you. So there you go. Just mind your own business. Do your work. And don't let anybody accuse you of anything wrong. Verse 12, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, so that you will not be dependent on anybody. The respect of outsiders. We have to live in a way that outside the community of Christ, people will respect us. But again, we don't compromise the gospel in the process. If they're not going to respect us, it must be for teaching and living the gospel, not for any other reason. Paul goes on to say here that it is important to be independent, not depending on anybody. And Paul, I believe, was a very independent person. He did his best to work with his own hands, not to ask for money, funds from others. Now he did receive at times some funds. Other times he received funds not for himself, but for the poor saints in Jerusalem. Remember, he went from place to place collecting money for them. But the point here is that if you have true love for others, you will not do anything that will make yourself a burden to them. So do your best to be one who gives and not one who always receives. We will finish 1 Thessalonians 4 in the next section.